there's a true belief that this team has a lot of the pieces that it needs to be a really good hockey team. And I think there's some genuine excitement and enthusiasm about, you know, getting it on the ice, seeing it, what it looks like, getting to know guys.
Welcome back. It's the Big Show in the Morning, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Now we are into the final hour on our Friday program here. Thanks for taking some time. My name is Matt Rose. He's Danny Austin. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, man. I enjoyed that with John Bender.
I always love when Bender comes into the studio, hang out for a little while. He told me he likes to book a bunch of meetings on Friday, so if he wants to drop by on Fridays, we might just see if we can make that work.
Yeah.
Alex Brody's producing the show today. He's in the other room.
Doing a great job today, Alex.
Oh, thanks, guys. I don't have Patrick to kind of back me up today, so...
Yeah, there's no backup plan. This is all on you. So if anything goes wrong, we'll just put out your phone number and then everyone can reach out to you personally. Let's go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to talk to our next guest. Down in Penticton, Brendan Parker from Flames TV joins us. Good morning, Brendan. How's Penticton?
It's beautiful this morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, it's
nice
pretty
Friday
good.
For you.
Yeah, Friday, man. An hour until the show's over. We're feeling pretty good about that. We both got to go to Stampeder's thing at 10:30, but then it's going to be free sailing after that. But you are working quite a bit this weekend. What are you doing? Color today and tomorrow, and then play-by-play on Monday? You putting on a little bit of a different hat than the Flames TV host this weekend.
That's exactly it. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I haven't actually been part of this Young Stars Classic. When I started with the Flames, that was the first year they didn't do it. It was in 2019, so it's been a while. But I've heard nothing but good things about the setup. We got to watch practice yesterday, and it's a beautiful facility. We got a great little spot here in Penticton. Every team is all set up. They got a skate under their belts, and our crew, more importantly, is all set up too. So we had a big crew come out, led by Ryan Dietrich, who is he wears every hat for us. And he and his team kind of came out here early and got everybody set up. And the live stream's looking good. A few things to tweak, but starting at 4 o'clock today, every team will have the opportunity to watch their prospects on the live stream throughout the entire tournament. So it's a great product. The games are competitive. Obviously, these kids are looking to make an impression on. Mm-hmm. On the coaching staff, and we're happy to bring the coverage throughout the weekend.
So set the stage for me a little bit. Off ice, do the teams, I mean, Penticton's not a huge place. Do the teams interact with one another, or how are they sort of separated?
Yeah, I mean, I might be able to answer that a little bit better as the weekend rolls along, but from what I've seen so far, I think everybody's kind of separated off the ice. And then in terms of the setup, there's two rinks, so a couple of rinks over at the facility, South Okanagan Event Center. And so, you know, they're interacting in that, you know, everybody has a dressing room kind of on the event floor and you're kind of mingling a little bit in and out. Everybody had staggered practice times, but, you know, staffs and things, you know, you walk by everybody. So there's a little bit of that for sure. And then obviously as the weekend goes along, you know, most of the NHL coaches, a lot of the management, they'll all be in town watching this as well if they're not already. And so you kind of get a little bit of an idea of some, you know, I'm sure there's conversations going on. They're there first and foremost to watch their own kids, their own prospects or potential free agents. But, you know, but at the end of the day, there's conversations and a little mixing in, but everybody off the ice is pretty much separated. Yeah.
So who are you excited to see? There's a couple of first round picks and Jacob Pelche and Connor Zary, the new acquisition via trade. Cole Schwint is going to throw on the Flames silks for the first time. There's a long list of defensemen. Dustin Wolf is at the tournament, or is it someone that I haven't listed that you're keeping your eye on?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because, well, I think first and foremost, the names that you mentioned there are kind of the ones that are high on the list. And I know that, you know, Jacob Pelche is a name that kind of jumps off the page right away for most people. And it does for me as well. I think he's a guy that, you know, had a very impressive first year of professional hockey, you know, led most rookies, you know, in the AHL and led the Stockton Heat in terms of rookie scoring and all rookie team. He just had an outstanding pro season and made that transition look so easy. And you're kind of looking to see what that next step looks like for him. And I think, you know, he's talked a little bit about coming in and wasn't overly happy with the way that he had his first NHL camp last year and would like to kind of, you know, take another step. He gets an opportunity to get back into main camp. And I think this, you know, like everybody else, it's kind of a head start for these guys. And that was kind of the message we heard from players yesterday is you get three games under your belt here, three competitive games against three different teams. And when main camp gets going, you know, you've shaken off some of that rust, you've worked through some of those nerves that you might have. And it's a real head start that they didn't get, you know, this time last year. So I think that's a name for sure. And then Connor Zary is another guy because obviously he started rookie camp. You know, he came in as a high draft pick, but then had the broken ankle in that rookie game blocking the shot and completely set him behind. I think he talked about being, you know, basically 10 weeks behind schedule or behind everybody else last year. So his first year of pro or pro hockey career, you know, got started behind the eight ball. And he had to work his way back. But he talked yesterday and said he felt really good at the end of last year. The playoff run really helped the confidence. So he comes in a little bit bigger, you know, a little bit stronger, like all these guys at this age. And he's another one you're looking at. And I'll submit one more. I was kind of off the page because yesterday watching practice, Adam Klapka, the guy they signed out of the Czech Republic, Czechia, he is 6'7". And you do not miss him on the ice. And watching some of the drills yesterday, I even think he caught some of the D-men by surprise on forechecking drills. Just the way he was able to get his stick and the reach out, he is going to be an interesting guy to watch here. Skates, he moves really well for a big guy, good hands. And it's going to be fascinating to see him in game action here.
Yeah, for me, it's the Cole Schwint, for me, has to be on that list too, just because, you know, when that trade happened, I mean, Brad Treliving repeated it in his, you know, conversations with the media over and over again that he didn't just view this guy as being, you know, a little add-on, that Cole Schwint was a key part of the package that they got back.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Danny. And he, another big guy, and by the looks of what we saw yesterday, and I'm sure they'll change things around in terms of lines, but he's going to get an opportunity to skate with, you know, with Pelche and guys like that because, obviously, this is a guy that can produce offense. He talked in the offseason when we spoke to him that that isn't always been his priority. He's always been a guy that's focused on both ends of the ice, and we know that that's music to the ears of the coaching staff here, and now he gets kind of an opportunity to prove that. He talked yesterday, and I thought this was fascinating. The question was kind of asked about, you know, he'll always be connected to a massive offseason trade, you know, involving Matthew Tkachuk, Mackenzie Weegar, and Jonathan Huberdeau. But as you said, I mean, the idea was that he wasn't just a throw-in on this trade. And that's something that I think he's keen to prove that he isn't just that he wants to be a massive part of that trade. And he said, I got a long way to go to prove that, but that's something that he intends to do. I mean, I think he saw he had three games in the National Hockey League last year. He saw where he needs to be, what he needs to do to make that more of a full-time role. And I think he's committed in doing that. And for him, he talked yesterday about just the excitement level of being able to throw on that flaming C for the first time. It'll be, you know, really his first opportunity to wear it here tonight. And I'm curious to see what he looks like. And if he is a guy that can, you know, start to really push for an NHL job, if not right off the start of the year, then maybe a call up a little bit later.
This may be an impossible question to ask, but for these guys, do you sense that they're sort of excited that the Wranglers have moved to Calgary, that they're going to have that opportunity to sort of be playing in front of the people who ultimately, I mean, the bosses who are kind of going to determine their future?
Yeah. You know what? It's a good question. I think I feel like I've asked that to somebody here recently, and I don't know. I think that there is enough eyes on them at all times now, you know, even via video that if you're playing well enough that, and, you know, management, obviously Brad Pascal, yeah, the GM in Stockton, and then Calgary. I mean, he's down there a lot and watches. I feel like if you're playing well enough, it wouldn't matter anyway. And this team at the National Hockey League level was relatively healthy last year. There wasn't a ton of call-ups, if you kind of think back. But there's no doubt that the proximity and being in the building and even, you know, sharing facilities at different times has to be a benefit, doesn't it? I mean, I think, you know, just the idea that you're this close and even if it's just a mental standpoint where you see what's going on a daily basis at the National Hockey League level and just basically exactly what Cole Schwint talked about. When you get that chance to go and be around the National League, some of the little things that they do, I think that's where the real benefit is that you're that close to the National Hockey League. And, you know, you feel like you can touch it. And maybe that's just that last step, that little bit of, motivation that when you're close, you can make that move and maybe pick up a few other small things to get it done.
And finally, I mean, I've got to ask about Dustin Wolf. It would be insane for me not to, given, you know, his prominence and how excited people are about him. What has been repeated to me about him again and again is that he's just got sort of an intelligence to him, and that, you know, whether that's on the ice or off, that sort of separates him in a lot of ways. Do you get that sense, sort of being around him and speaking with him?
Yeah, without a doubt. And a confidence is the confidence is one that really stands out to me, is that the guy, no matter what level he was at, and his poise and confidence, he just thinks that he knows he can have success no matter where he is. And, you know, obviously you look at the goaltending depth chart right now, and it's, you know, it's set up for him to be, you know, the starter once again at the Wrangler level. You'd expect him just to be, again, another top five goaltender in that American Hockey League. And when you talk to him, you know, even at the draft, we were there when he was selected in the seventh round and was there in person in Vancouver. And, you know, I think there was some nervous moments for the family because it was getting late in that draft. But the ovation, the cheer that they got in the building when the Flames made that pick, it was outstanding. But there, even then, you know, I think he was wondering, oh, am I going to get selected here today? Did I come here for nothing? But then you go and you talk to him afterwards, and there's so much confidence that comes with him, I think. And he pours everything into the goaltending position, off ice, on ice, you know, whatever it might be, to make sure he's successful. And I love the background of the kid, just the confidence that he brings. And it's never wavered with him. You just think that no matter what he does, he's going to be successful at any level. And that's just kind of what he portrays.
Talking to Brendan Parker, the host of Flames TV, and if you're checking out any of the Young Stars tournament, you're going to hear him on the call as well, doing color today and Saturday as the Flames take on the Canucks and the Oilers, and then the Jets on Monday. And that's when Park's going to move to the other chair, do a little play-by-play as well, which we're very much looking forward to. It was earlier in this.
Hey, Matty, tell Flames fans, just be gentle, okay? Like, it's not my.
Was this the maiden voyage?
The best that I can.
When was the last time you did play-by-play or color?
Well, I did a little bit this summer for lacrosse, actually, on HN Live. A shout-out to them. We were doing some Rocky Mountain Lacrosse League, so I did get some reps this summer. But color, I don't know when the last time I've done color was. It's been a little while.
I like doing color. I can't do play-by-play. Like, if you listen to the show, you know that I already have trouble with the English language, and then when I try and, like, speak at an accelerated rate and not walk over my own words, I really struggle. So I can do color, but play-by-play is an art in itself.
It is. It is very much an art, and I'm going to try to leave that to the professionals as much as possible, but I'm happy to step in for one day.
Earlier this week, it was the Flames Charity Golf Classic, raising money for the Flames Foundation, and I don't know about you, but it hadn't really set in, you know, that Kadri and Uyghur and Huberto were going to be here and they were going to be members of the Calgary Flames. Like, for me, it usually takes seeing them in the Flames silks, doing practice, being out there with their teammates. But it really started to set in, just a picture of those three. They were all wearing Flames gear. They were all together. Has it started to set in for you, kind of being a little bit closer to the team and seeing these guys start to get integrated?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to put it. And I think in the back of your head, as things happen over the summer, obviously you're following everything closely. But as the golf tournament happens, and then obviously all the rookies are here, now it feels, like hockey season is right here. And you start to put all the pieces together and you start to look at it. And then at the golf tournament, you see the guys, you know, coming in, really their first official kind of event as members of the Calgary Flames. And obviously getting a chance to meet them and talk to them a little bit. You know, I think the one thing that stands out to me is the excitement level. I think there's some genuine enthusiasm, not just from the new guys, but the guys that have been here for a while. Even, you know, talking to a guy like Michael Backlund, the longest tenured Calgary Flame. I mean, he's standing there and he's looking around as well. You know, obviously that's a lot of changes and you lose a couple of longtime teammates, but I think, you know, by the sounds of everything you're hearing, you know, there's a true belief that this team has a lot of the pieces that it needs to be a really good hockey team. And I think there's some genuine excitement and enthusiasm about, you know, getting it on the ice seeing it, what it looks like, getting to know guys. Because, you know, I think that's actually where it starts, is really just trying to integrate everybody in from a personal standpoint, get to know guys, go for some dinners, and then hopefully the on-ice portion kind of takes care of itself. Because you do have the talent, you have some really good players, you have some good pieces, and it'll sort itself out in terms of chemistry. And, you know, that'll be a little bit of the coaching staff to work on that. But as long as, you know, they can start to get that off ice thing going and get to know guys, you know, you don't see any reason why this team, you know, shouldn't be a really successful one on the ice.
Wanted to ask you as well, Parks, you did just a great job on those feature pieces up at Daryl Sutter's Ranch. I haven't had a chance to watch the new one that came out with Chris yesterday, but just tell us about kind of going up and being able to experience the Sutter Ranch that we all have know about and have heard about, but to be up there in person with the man himself showing you around. What was that experience like?
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was something that we've kind of talked about, I think, a couple summers. But, you know, as we know, the last two off seasons haven't really been normal, per se. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of the first opportunity we had to really go do it. And, you know, it was exactly everything you would think it would be. I mean, obviously the history and the legacy that's there on that farm. I mean, he talks about it going back, you know, to the early 1900s and, like you said, 1903 or 1904, depending on who you ask. But I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was the pride that he has in that land and in the history. And, you know, I think it's sort of portrayed. I mean, we showed shots, you know, different elements or different parts of his land. He drove us around a little bit, but, you know, he took us up to the Big Hill, they call it. And that's his favorite part of the land. We're basically, and I think this was in the piece, where it's just, you look around, you can see 40 miles in every direction, and it is as stunning as you would, you know, expect it to be, the rolling hills of Alberta. And I think that the biggest thing that stood out to me for sure was just his pride of owning that land, taking care of it, and making sure that it stays in the Sutter name mm-hmm. for forever.
Well, the family aspect was so big. Like, I loved when he was talking about, like, oh, this nail right here on this post. Like, I just love the idea that my dad put this in, and now I'm the one like maintaining and keeping it all together. And like I said, I think it was something that we knew that was very important to Daryl, but it was just a side that we don't really get to see very often.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's home, right? It's every memory that if you know you're going back to your old childhood home that you would picture and think of. But he really does, you know, love the idea of doing that every chance he gets to go back home. You know, whether it is even just a couple of days at Christmas or it's over the summer. It's just, it has, I mean, I don't really know what other way to put it other than just the pride to, like mm-hmm. you say, to be able to take care of that land and to be able to make sure that you're, you know, the one that's still maintaining it and living on it. I think, you know, and then even just the family element of it, you know, the barn where all the boys would go and play hockey after they were finished their chores. And you can kind of get an idea of, you know, where that work ethic comes from. It's like everybody had to make sure they took care of what they needed to take care of before you went and played hockey or before you went and played ball. Like you had a list of things to do on the farm. And if you worked together, you could get it done fast so you could go play. And that was the idea. And like all the sticks that are in the, you know, the one thing, the other thing is the shop. He said it was a kind of a COVID project just because he had all this stuff that was kind of sitting around and out. And so they, you know, they put it up in the shop there and it was just, you know, outstanding, you know, just to see all of the history and all these different photos and, you know, some that his dad was able to get, you know, the photo of the Leafs team completely autographed all the way through, you know, that's wild to see. You know, something like that has, it should be hanging probably in the Hall of Fame almost, but yeah, there was just so much good stuff in there. We literally could stand there for hours and we tried to just basically looking at everything that's laid out in that shop.
And then the new video that came out yesterday with Chris Sutter kind of stealing the show a little bit here. What can we expect from this one that just dropped if fans haven't gone around to finding it yet?
Yeah, it was, so Chris is obviously, he spends all the summer out there as well with Daryl and Wanda, and he's got his list of chores to do, and he's got his trusty gator there that he bombs around the yard, and so he was willing to take us for a little for a little ride, the thrill ride, as he called it. So we hopped in, and he showed us around the farm a little bit, and we were able to kind of go out into a couple different parts and just told us some of the history and, you know, where their grandparents' original home was and how they moved it over. And, you know, and then obviously their new home kind of right there beside it, and kind of told us where they bring all the cows in and showed us just some of the land around it. And it was, but it was the Chris tour. And so we threw that together kind of as an additional piece. It didn't feel, you know, we had obviously, I think it was close to 10 minutes on the Darryl piece. And we thought, you know, maybe this should just be its own. We just need to have the solo Chris feature. It warrants it separately. Happy to do it.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed this. Enjoy Penticton in this tournament. We will be we'll be listening with bated breath. I'll just send you a couple notes if anything comes up. Just a couple of tips, some pointers, I guess.
Yeah. Just put them in jot form. Send them over. Just be kind, you know.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief. Listen, we can have a full breakdown when you get back. We'll do an air check, the whole nine yards. No problem with that.
Yeah, constructive criticism, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Well, appreciate it, Brendan. Man, enjoy it.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Have a good weekend.
There you go. That's Brendan Parker, who's going to be down in Penticton for the Young Stars tournament, kicking off today, 7:30. Canucks and Flames, 7:30 on Saturday. Oilers and Flames, 11 a.m. on Monday. Jets and Flames. I am excited to watch Adam Klapka. Like, that was one of those press releases that you get in the middle of the year, and it's like, okay, they signed some guy. He's out of Europe. Klapka, okay. Let's check the stats here a little bit. Not a lot of points. Okay. 6'7", 245. 6'7", 245? What? And he's a winger?
Big young man.
And he's a winger? Okay, sure. Why not? So I'm excited to see what he can do. That'll be fun to watch. Like, we just had John Bender in here. I love golfing with John Bender because I love watching big dudes do good things. Same thing with Adam Klapka. I'm very excited. I don't know what number he is, but I don't think you'll need to know. I think he'll stand out.
Yeah. You've got me excited.
There. That's hard to do.
Is he expected to be with the Wranglers this year? Do you know what the plan is for him? Any idea?
Probably. I'm almost positive that he would expect to be with the Wranglers. What do I have here? Because he's signed, he's an RFA, and he's not signed to just an AHL deal. So he's actually an RFA signed through 2024. 22, 6'7", 245 pounds. I would assume AHL this season. Just be kind of one of the big bruisers down on the fourth line there. Probably play with the Wranglers. That guy can wrangle. I'll tell you that for free.
You're 6'7". You better be able to wrangle.
Yeah, you can wrangle a little bit. From Czechia as well. Neato. We'll take a break around the corner. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. going to join us. And I got some stuff to give away. And I also got Danny's worst take of the week. We'll rehash all of that ahead of 9 o'clock. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Welcome back. It's the big show in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Final segment of the show today. I'm very excited to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner for takeout or delivery. Call 403-248-3344 or dine in at Atlas Pizza, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. And very excited to talk to our next guest. My name is Matt Rose. He is Danny Austin. And down the guest hotline is Tommy Wheeldon Jr. Hello, Tommy. How's your Friday going so far?
Hey, Matt. I heard a vicious rumor that Danny was joining the show. That's great to catch up in that way. Big Arsenal fan, eh, Dan?
Honestly, it was going to be my first question. I know I had to get to Cavalry, but I wasn't going to waste this opportunity to just get you to say nice things about my team.
Well, and you know what? You must be loving it with the documentary that's come out on Prime as well, because all our players, our staff have dived right into that, and it does show a good side of Arteta and what he's trying to build there.
Yeah, I mean, it's for people who don't know, it's sort of last year with Arsenal, which was we got off to a terrible start, but ended up sort of recovering. And
you played a lot last year?
Arsenal got off to
a big part of the puzzle.
Yeah,
I am sitting at the ship at anchor with my buddy Jake. You know, I do my part. But yeah, no, it's incredible. And then, I mean, this year, obviously, Gabriel Jesus has been amazing. Just, you know, I'm gonna force you to say nice things. They look pretty good, right?
They do. Listen, he's been very brave, and it shows that. And I think that's the best thing for all sports fans, actually, seeing these documentary series, whether it's the Hard Knocks ones or the All or Nothings. You know, there's a great one, Simeone, as well, and it just shows the background. I mean, you're looking, I was just hearing your interview there with Brendan Parker about, you know, the background, you know, at the Sutter Ranch. I mean, these are phenomenal stories because they're people interested, and it does show that, you know, not just picking teams out there, are human beings, and I think we've got to understand that. And after, you know, learn, even as a coach and a general manager now, you're learning things after post-COVID about things that people have gone through, and it is different, and you've got to have a higher degree of empathy now with trying to get the best out of your players. But yeah, it's great content.
I was going to ask, I mean, not necessarily tactically, but when you watch a show like that, are you picking up things just in terms of sort of...
Always.
Yeah,
always. I mean, I think, you know, I'm a visual learner. So I used to, you know, before COVID, go and have site visits. You know, we went over to Ross County, went over to Fulham, to Chelsea. You know, I've been to Liverpool, Man City, Paris Saint-Germain. These are all places that I've been to just to see what are people doing? What are the consistencies? What are the difference makers? How they deal with this situation? And you're just absorbing it. And I think you've got to be a sponge for, you know, the knowledge and experiences. That's what we're all trying to be. And, you know, then you have to say, right, what fits what we're doing in the environment we're in? And then you just try and filter it that way.
Just do you have any perhaps examples of anything that you have copycatted from any of your trips?
Well, do you know what? It was interesting because after this season, we went on our club high of 11 games unbeaten, and we set a club record. You know, yeah, we're only 4 years old. And then I saw the Arsenal one, and Arteta had gone on their club record. I think it was 6-7 games, and then lost to Liverpool. And his reaction afterwards, because he's an emotional guy, so am I wear my heart on my sleeve. And he was more angry with other ones in terms of you know, poor performances and maybe a tie than he was you know, the loss to Liverpool. And he just came in and said, boys, I'm going to throw that one in the garbage and we move on. I thought, you know, and I wasn't sure the way I'd reacted when we'd lost to York. And you look, actually, could I have done that bit better? And you learn for next time. And then in other games, you've gone, boys, all right, let's crack on. Because sometimes the players, they know they play bad and they don't know why. And it doesn't always help if the coach comes in and points fingers, because it takes you days, even weeks, to pick guys back up again, especially, you know, some of this the millennial environment as well, of the personality profiles you have. So, yeah, I picked that up, you know, with as it turns to tactics and things. Yeah, you always look at different ways. Everyone's a different learner. Some are kinesthetic, some are visual learners. Some have to feel things, some have to see things, some don't need any information at all. So you do pick up little ones, and we've added that into our profile as well.
So looking at Calvary right now then, you guys are currently third in the CPL table, 4 games to go between now and your sort of season-closing game against Pacific at Echo Field on October 8th. Do you guys feel like you need 12 points from these 4 games?
12 points gets us in, right? I think you take care of your own business. 12 points gets you in. So I'll tell you, one thing we did was, after consistency, there's been a high level of inconsistency. And then we looked around the league. It's not just that. It's now you're showing that the league of parity, there's 5 points separating first and fifth. This is how a parity league should be. So we actually thought, you know, after we played Forge, and it was disappointing to lose, and especially in the manner with the sendings off and the emotions that came with it, but they're always high energy, high emotional games against Forge. And usually on a Monday, we reflect and go, right, let's look at how we did good. Look, what can we do better? And then what's the best version of us? And actually, we used a similar way, like what Arteta did. And we said, actually, here we are now. This is the running. It's 4 games. It's 4 potential playoff games, playoff qualification games. One against FC Edmonton on Saturday at their place. All they've got to play for is they want that first ever win. They've never beaten us. So what would be the reasons they could win? And boys listed some of the things. Right, what are the reasons we could win? Right, listed some of the things. And all we've done this week is focus on FC Edmonton and how we put our best foot forward and take care of that. And then after that, we've got 3 home games, and our record at home is the best in the league. You know, we're number 1 ranked in the league for home performances, and that's where you'd want to be at this time of year in front of our fans at Echo Field.
Yeah, it doesn't get much bigger than that September 24th game against Atletico Ottawa at Echo Field, eh?
Oh, no. And we owe them one. And again, the way we played against them, we felt like it was a daylight robbery for them to leave with 3 points. So, but both teams, they've had a terrific season. They're in first place right now. And always say the league table never lies. They're there for a reason. So it's up to us now to be the hunters, not the hunted. And I think this year we've always been, it felt like we're the ones being hunted. And, you know, we've led the table for a long time in several years, but we've got no silverware to show for it. So we want to make sure that, and the running, that's who we are. We're hunting everyone else down to climb that table.
Do you like that role? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure everyone wants to be top of the table, but it's, you know, you sometimes hear them in every sport. There's something to being the team that's trying to, you know, make up space with that first place team.
Absolutely. I love it. You know, it's, I actually really thrive in this situation. I think, Dan, our history goes back to when I had the PDL side, and, you know, in the Pro-Am leagues, we're, you know, playing against the American teams, and it was the same thing. We shouldn't have been in the mix as often as we were, and we did. Now we've, you know, 4 years in the pros, we're always in the conversation. So there's something that, about our competitive culture that puts us there. It's now up to us to deliver on demand. And that's basically what we're saying now, is these are the moments, you know, we've got to rise to and actually enjoy being in, because I would sooner be in, say, our situation chasing these points than, say, FC Edmonton, where there is nothing other than, you know, just a sense of pride in their games. You've got to be in the hunt, and we are.
You got this last road game coming up tomorrow in Edmonton, 2 o'clock. I just wanted to ask about the road trip and how you thought that played out for your team, because between your game in Halifax and your game in Hamilton, you stayed out east. Did you feel like it brought out some camaraderie in the team? I know it's a 2-1, you know, setback against Forge, but were there some takeaways from just being out on the road as a group for an extended amount of time?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at, you know, you can always look at short-term results versus long-term gains. And I think what we saw was against Halifax, they've got a terrific home record. They're hitting form. It was a good point against a tough team that, you know, parked their team right in a low block of a 5-3 and a 2. And it was tough to get by. You know, the pitch wasn't favorable to the way we want to play, but we had to play it. So we had to try and adapt, and we took away a good point. Against Forge, you know, it was a terrific 3 points, and it could have swung either way. You know, Jose Escalante hit the crossbar in that dying minute. You know, 2 inches lower, it's barring in. So these are the ones every point matters. And I think for us was, you know, we didn't get the points we wanted to. So you look at that from a result standpoint, say, yeah, it was a disappointment. But from a camaraderie one, you look at how things went. And when, you know, Becker stamps on Alacon, and you've seen the number of green shirts in there to back up their teammate and their response to try and score goals and drive on, that bonds them, because they've had something taken away from them and they've had something unjust done to them. And the time they've spent together, they needed it away from, you know the families and the friends and our home environment. And I'll tell you, this week, since we've been back home again, you can see there's that camaraderie, and we're going to need that for the running. So hopefully that long-term gain is work for the short-term lack of result.
Anything coming out of the end of that game with all the cards that were involved? You going to be short guys for this upcoming match here?
Yeah, Mikhail Kontave got one game for 2 yellows and a straight red. Joe Di Chiara had his suspension brought down from 3 games to 1. I think they realized it was an innocuous, let's just put it that way, without getting into trouble. And it shouldn't have been. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of embellishment from the other side, which our guys will remember for the next time. And then we've got Karifa Yao back from injury for the Edmonton game. And he's been, you know, a stalwart in defense for us. So it's nice to have an addition in that way going up to Edmonton.
Perfect. So one last one from me. Switch tracks a little bit. We all know the World Cup is coming up pretty quickly. Two-part question. First of all, are you personally, you're deeply involved in Canadian soccer. Are you feeling sort of that build-up of excitement? And second of all, how excited are the Adekubes about Sam getting his shot?
Yeah. Well, I think so. It's interesting because since the qualification, it's almost been that, you know, it's almost been clicked on pause. And the only reason being is because we've got our games going on right now, so we're trying to do our running. So I think when you get sort of in the heat of the moment with us, you forget about it. Today, probably when John Erdman announces his next lineup and then the preparation games, I think that's going to be when we start to get excited again about Canada going to the World Cup. I mean, it's significant, 36, 37 years since since they last been. So, I mean, I know Elijah's proud of his brother, wants him to stay fit, obviously, to be in there. But, you know, another one of ours is that could be in contention is Joel Waterman, who's having a terrific season at Montreal, who are flying in the MLS, and he's been a key part of their success with the way he's played. So, you know, we're fingers crossed he gets a nod for the friendlies coming up.
Road trip today, or are you already up in Edmonton?
No, we're at Spruce Meadows now. I'm actually staring out on that Echo Field right now. I'm outside, nice little chill in the air. We're going to do a little bit of video work this morning, final pieces on Edmonton. Then we're going to have a little rehearsal on the pitch. Then the boys shower, lunch, and then we'll get on the bus and head up the QE2.
Best of luck. And then it's home cooking all the way to the end of the season after that. And I know you're probably looking forward to it. So enjoy this weekend. Rack one more win, and we'll chat the week after.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Tommy.
There you go. It's Tommy Wheeldon Jr., head coach and manager of your Cavalry FC.
Just the best.
You got a couple tickets to give away, hey? How about this? I have been told we have one pair of Cavalry FC tickets to give away for their upcoming game. Not the one this weekend that's going to be up in Edmonton, but the one that you want to be at.
The big one
coming up in just a couple of weeks' time when they battle Atletico. I believe it's going to be the match against Atletico.
The league leaders. Team are trying to catch
on Saturday, September the 24th. Or else it'll be a match against Valor on October the 2nd, or else it'll be a match against Pacific on October the 8th. And frankly, they're all playoff teams, and you're going to want to see these matches.
They're all big games.
Here's the question. It's a trivia question. I'm looking for the answer at 960-960. We'll give a few minutes for all the answers to get in. We'll randomly pull one name, and that person's going to win a pair of tickets to go see Cavalry FC. So here's the deal. To start the show, we were talking about the new FX program, Welcome to Wrexham. Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds go and they've bought the Wrexham Red Dragons, and they're trying to get them to advance up a tier in the structure that is the 8 levels of English football. And right now, Wrexham, the point in the season that they're at, they play in the National League, which is the 5th tier. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. started his playing career in the league above, the English Football League 2. Which team did Tommy Wheeldon Jr. play for? We're looking for it on the text line, 960-960. Which football club did Tommy play for? And if we get that in, you could be entered to win a couple of tickets in 960-960. That easy.
It's a great contest.
Yeah. We're going to have a lot of tickets to give away.
You're keeping it topical.
Yeah. Promotions told me. They called me. They said, hey, you always forget stuff. Don't forget about this. So look at that. Done. No problem. We will get a few texts flying in as far as where he played. And we'll get a couple answers out there as well. But also that came out of that first segment today, we had Danny Austin, guest host for the week, and we really appreciate you coming in. But we had Danny's worst take of the week. Right, Brody? Probably worst take of the week off the top of my head?
Yeah, that was interesting, Danny.
Yeah, okay. So we were talking about Ryan Reynolds films after we were talking about Welcome to Wrexham and how he never misses. I was talking about how much I love Deadpool, to which Danny told me it was a child's show. You know, rated R, Deadpool, full of curse words, egregious violence.
Said it was for kids.
Yeah. So if you ever need a babysitter to show your 9-year-old the first episode of the new season of Game of Thrones, I'll give you Danny Austin's phone number. And then this was his take after. So look at me being very in tune with the pop circles.
I've been
well.
Out on Blake Lively since the last episode of Gossip Girl. Couldn't believe that.
See,
Dan was Gossip Girl. Didn't
can you believe this guy?
I'm
he
sorry.
He drags me for Deadpool, and then he drops a Gossip Girl reference. Kick rocks.
Just saying, it didn't make sense that Dan was Gossip Girl. I mean,
what is happening?
It didn't make sense that Dan was Gossip Girl. I stand by that. 2.5 hours later.
That's not the point. That's not the point. The point was, Ryan Reynolds makes good films, and Deadpool is not for children. And you can't go out and drop Dan from Gossip Girl.
I think Ryan Reynolds is a great person. I think his batting average in movies
uh-huh.
is pretty low.
also, just someone replied on Twitter. We totally forgot about some of his other superhero ventures. Green Lantern.
Yeah, awful. That was a great movie.
Terrible.
Great.
But the
sort
best part,
proving my point, guys.
But the best part is that he owns that too. And it's one of the best Ryan Reynolds bits is whenever he talks about how bad Green Lantern is.
I think Ryan Reynolds has got bits. I don't deny that he's got bits. I didn't like Free Guy. Didn't think Free Guy was particularly good.
I made it about halfway through.
Thought Red Notice was terrible. I haven't seen The Adam Project. I've been told people like it. Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. Didn't see that. Not sure I need to. I'm sure Crude's A New Age was great. He plays Guy. The voice. So I liked Six Underground. Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, I will argue, is the worst movie in the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah, that's fair.
His character made no sense. So, yeah, I mean, in Pokemon Detective Pikachu, that one is for kids.
Also very good, though. He had a great role.
I think that this may be generational. I think that the extra years I've got on you, I think we can say, hey, we're all pro Ryan Reynolds. I'm glad he continues to get opportunities and is very rich. But that doesn't mean he's made great career choices in terms of quality.
So
I'm going to get ripped for this.
So the text line is very confused. And honestly, it's because they probably have no idea what we were talking about, because apparently for the last 2 minutes, we also had Jack FM overlay in our station. I'm getting a lot of text that we had Jack FM going over our air while we were also trying to play. And that's not a Brody thing. That's just a Rogers radio thing. But if it's just us now, I assume that someone has figured it out. You know whose problem it is? Jeff! Freaking Jeff probably getting all butchered up.
I saw these texts and I was freaking out. Like, I was like, what did I do?
No. Don't worry about it, Brody. This is not our fault. This is way above our pay grade. But apparently, yes, we did have Jack FM on.
Do we apologize to our listeners for that?
Sure. Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. Wish that didn't happen to you.
We did a whole thing going through Ryan Reynolds' IMDb and just savaging it.
I don't think we were savaging it, though. It was pretty good. Someone texts this in. It's a callback to the morning report. And I got to assume it's in regards to Danny, but they wanted this clip.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way.
That's you. Gossip Girl.
Didn't make sense that Dan was Gossip Girl.
I wonder what the song was. Like...
So it was a song that was playing over us.
I don't know. It was something like that. Apparently, it might have been some cult. They are about to throw down some cult, so it was all good. Yeah. At 960-960, what you want to talk about, we'll do it right now for our friends over at Calgary Lock and Safe, because the hunting season gun safe sale is on now. You can save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Fire it off here, Sportsnet 960 the Fan. We're getting some feedback. So apparently it was the two very cheesy radio hosts, that would be Matt O'Neill and Sarah Crosby, who I used to work with, and can confirm that they are cheesy as hell. I thought you were doing a spoof until I realized this was actually Jake FM. She Sells Sanctuary was starting when it switched back to 960, which honestly, that might have been better than our discussion about Ryan Reynolds' discography. It's a pretty good track.
Filmography and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we can keep going with Ryan Reynolds, but I don't think we need to rehash the whole thing.
They were just talking about their weekend, the Jackos. Yeah, I bet it's because they're getting out of here. What? I bet in about a minute I'm going to watch Matt O'Neill zip by, because there's no chance that guy's in the studio at 9 a.m. when that show ends. See ya.
I will say,
have you ever seen Waiting by with Ryan Reynolds in it?
I have.
Incredible film.
Again, my initial point was that in the last 10 years, I didn't love his filmography. But again, he was in Ted.
What was his role in Ted?
A guy named Jared, but he was uncredited. This goes back to the 6 o'clock hour where Matty, you said that he was the star of Ted, but yeah, you meant Mark Wahlberg.
It was Mark Wahlberg and McFarlane, who voices the bear. Apparently, it was the cult that was playing.
You've done plenty of these weeks. Do you figure that tomorrow morning I'm just gonna naturally wake up at 3:30?
No, I guarantee you won't.
Okay.
You are going to sleep for hours. Hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. That's how long it's going to be.
Amazing.
But then you'll wake up and it'll be time to watch the Stamps game.
Big game.
So I got a question for you.
Hit me up.
Okay, we got one person who has a Stamps question, and then I got a little bit of a prize to give away here. Why are the Stamps Canadian receivers having bigger games more often? Why aren't they? Why aren't they, Danny?
Why are they not, or why are they?
Why are they not having bigger games more often? These Canadian receivers. What the heck's with that?
I mean, I think that we're seeing the receiving crew come together right now, but ultimately, look, you're generally going to have your American receivers be your top options in the CFL. I expect that Jalen Philpott will become a much bigger part going forward, and in particular next year when he has an offseason to put on a little bit more weight so that he's, you know, just more more capable of handling the rigors of professional football. I think Luther Hakanavanu, the ball is going to continue to find, and he remains an end zone threat. And you know what? I think Richardson Danny's done well.
Keep going.
But yeah, ultimately, I think that you are probably pretty
what?
Happy with the
sorry,
Canadian.
Huh? Lost you there. What was that? Last part? No. Congrats to Gore, who won the Cavalry FC tickets.
Shout out Gore.
Promo will be in touch, my man. And thanks to everyone who entered. Have a great weekend, guys. Here's a little Seashells Sanctuary. Seashells down by the seashore, and she sells sanctuary. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday, folks. Adios!